What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Hang on a second. I forgot to shoot the contact cleaner in here, setting up. This mixer is headed out the door. The new one is on its way. It was supposed to have actually gotten here Tuesday, but it did not. So we'll just make do with it a few more days. But all of this crackling and rattling is going to go away now. So let's get into the show. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. It is Thursday, August 24th, 2017. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phones. And boy, is there a lot of stuff to talk about today. Now, believe it or not, somebody won that Powerball. $758 million, a woman in Massachusetts. And everyone's excited about that, especially the state of Massachusetts, which is already drooling over the tax revenues they're going to collect from her. But I hope she's a fan of the show here. In fact, to be very honest, she looks like she could be family on my mother's side, because that's where we all hail from. I was born in Boston all the way back there. So hopefully she's a fan of the site, and we'll be hearing from her about when my birthday rolls around here in another 5 days. Now, if you're down in Texas, obviously you need to be hunkering down right now, and that includes all of our good friends over here at RBN. Because Tropical Storm Harvey is heading on shore. It is expected to strengthen to hurricane force, become a hurricane again. It's coming on shore in the area between Corpus Christi and Houston. And they're already saying it's going to be at least 30 inches of rain. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has already declared a state of disaster for 30 counties going on in. And they're expecting major, major flooding. So if you're in the inundation areas, be prepared to move. Take good care of yourself. This is a nasty one. This is a nasty one. Another story that's kind of hanging out there, over in Charleston, South Carolina, there was an active shooter incident. Turned out not to be a hate crime or a terrorist. Apparently disgruntled employee, and is, last I checked, they're still trapped in this restaurant. Virginia's restaurant, and the negotiator is there trying to talk them on out. So it wasn't an act of terror after all. Now, I want to get on back to the incident with the USS John S. McCain, because the corporate media is really out there pounding on this story that the USS John McCain just couldn't be so dumb as to collide with another ship. Therefore, by default, it had to be hacked by the Russians. And all the online shills are already on over saying, oh, yes, it could have been done with this device and this device and this device. And every time you check out their claims and you get the technical specs for what they're offering, it doesn't do what they're claiming it's doing. And their entire argument is, well, the Navy couldn't be that incompetent. Therefore, by default, it has to be Russia. Look what they did to the Donald Cook. Yes, they could have seized the John S. McCain and driven it into that tanker ship. Well, again, go back and check your facts. What the incident with the Donald Cook proved is that Russia can jam radars, targeting systems, and paralyze weapons, but the Donald Cook never lost control of its engines or helm during the encounter. But they're out there pushing this agenda and just saying it's just impossible for the Navy to be this dumb. Of course it's possible. There's a long history of this kind of stuff going on, and followed by cover-ups. Now, you remember that incident with the gun turret on the USS Iowa? And it revealed a whole bunch of things went wrong. Mostly, there was a brand new captain, inexperienced, and when he got on board the Iowa, he fired or transferred off his experienced command crew and brought in a bunch of his friends, and nobody could say anything about it because he had contacts up at the Pentagon. You know how the old boy network works. And so they were out there sailing on the Iowa. There was an admiral on board. The captain wanted to impress him. And they'd already had a misfire in one of the other turrets. And the captain said, keep firing anyway. And it led to this disaster. And the investigation was a total whitewash. Captain Joseph Michelli, the officer assigned to the inquest, had a conflict of interest because he apparently had supervised preparation of some of the gun propellant on board, which was later found to have been stored improperly and become unstable. And what actually happened is They had this unstable gun propellant. Apparently, they were short one bag in that center gun. And the new kid that hadn't had enough training over-rammed it. And because it was unstable from improper storage, it exploded. And the breech was open, and it just blew back into the turret, and it just shredded all those poor people. But the Navy never does anything wrong. So what did they do? They blamed it on a gay sailor that they said was despondent over the end of an affair, and he committed suicide, taking 46 shipmates with him. And that was the official story. And people were saying, that's utter nonsense. The Navy even went on out and hired groups of people with media support to go to the families of all of the 46 sailors and say, this is what happened. And overwhelmingly, the family said, this is a load of nonsense. Now, the Navy, ultimately, to prove that the propellant was safe, built what was called a drop test rig, where it was a section of 16-inch gun barrel, and they loaded it up with propellant bags and a shell, and they had a plunger on the bottom simulating the ramming. And the idea was they were just going to drop it over and over and over again to prove that over-ramming the powder would not set it off. They dropped it. It exploded. And all the propellant was destroyed. And the Iowa-class battleships turned into museum pieces. We have one of them down here in Pearl Harbor. That was what led to the final decommissioning of all the Iowa-class ships, was that gun incident. But for public consumption, it was a dead gay sailor. It was all his fault. All right, we're going to do a shout-out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the show. And we're trying to deal with this obvious piece of propaganda to once again frame Russia for something that appears, at least to me, to be accident and stupidity, which is the USS John McCain being struck by that oil tanker. And having spent a lot of time on the ocean, it looks to me like these Navy commanders are ignoring the international rules of right of way. They're getting reckless, and they're making mistakes. I mean, these are new kids. Remember when you were a kid and you finally got the keys to the family car? Admit it, you kind of pushed the pedal to the metal a little bit those first few times on out. Same thing, only with a lot more metal. And then we have, of course, the Point Honda disaster. And this happened a long time ago, and obviously it's not something the Navy likes to be proud about. But basically what it was, there were seven destroyers that ran aground off Point Honda near Santa Barbara. There were actually nine ships total. Two of them were able to back off and get free of the rocks. 23 sailors died in the disaster. It was the single largest peacetime loss of U.S. ships in United States history. And they court-martialed the fleet commander and the captains of all the ships for negligence. And if you can get in there, you have to have permission from Vandenberg. But if you can get in there, the remains of the ships are still there. They run dive tours to that. Seven ships lost in a single day. Goof. No enemy action. The Russians didn't do it. The Russians didn't jam the computers on these Navy destroyers. Then we have how the USS Vincennes, the shoot down of the Iranian passenger jet. That's an accident. The accidental shoot down of TWA 800 was an accident. Something was done wrong. There was an incompetent. Then you had the USS Maine, which was officially declared the victim of a Spanish mine to launch the Spanish-American War, but Captain Sigsbee, commander of the Maine, said it was an onboard fire that got out of control. And this was later confirmed by an investigation run by Admiral Hyman G. Rickover. The Navy has major mess-ups, and they like to lie to cover it on up. Remember John McCain, Wet Start Johnny on the Forrestal? Destroyed enough U.S. planes to qualify as an enemy ace. Officially, it was an electrical fault. The people who survived the incident have gone public and said, yeah, John was doing wet starts. He wanted to spook the pilot behind him and accidentally cooked off a Zuni rocket, initiating the sequence of event. But because good old John McCain's daddy was an admiral, you know, he got off scot-free. That's how the Navy, in fact, all military chain of command works. If you come from the right families, you can do no wrong. There was an incident in which there was a peacetime loss of a submarine called the USS Scorpion. And it simply vanished on its way back to the United States. And there was no communication. And the time when it was supposed to arrive at the docks came and went. And they didn't know where it was. And there was a very brilliant scientist named Dr. John Craven. And he was one of these whiz kids for the military. And when he retired, he moved out here to Oahu. And I had the chance to hang out with him for quite a while before he passed away. And he was the one who found where the Scorpion went by using data from the SOSUS system to track the submarine, and discovered that shortly before it disappeared, it had done a 180-degree turn heading back the way it was coming. And Craven understood that that is something submarine commanders are taught to do instantly if they have what's called a hot-running torpedo, which means a torpedo still on board the submarine, not in the torpedo tube, that activates. And the reason for that is the batteries and engines of the torpedoes can generate a huge amount of heat, enough to cook off the warhead. Normally, when they're in use in the ocean, going through the water keeps them cool. If they're in the torpedo room, the heat can cook off the warheads. And so Craven basically said, yeah, they had a hot-running torpedo, and it probably blew up. And the problem was, it was known those batteries were faulty. There had been several incidents with those specific torpedo batteries. What did the Navy say? It was a sneak attack by the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union just decided one day, for no reason at all, to launch an unprovoked attack on a U.S. submarine. There are still people out there still pushing that agenda. Now then, this gets us to the Titanic. And no, the Russians didn't interfere with the Titanic either. But when Dr. Robert Ballard went to look for the Titanic, that was actually a cover, because his real mission was to locate and survey the wrecks of both the USS Scorpion and the Thresher. And what they found on the Scorpion was it had been crushed by the ocean, except for the forward torpedo room was intact, which meant it had been open to the sea on the way to the bottom. And that pretty much confirms Dr. Craven's theory right there. So this is how the Navy does these things. Somebody else's fault. We got to protect the careers of the founding families or whatever. And it does get rather ridiculous at times. Occam's razor. This is a goof. These are young people. They're probably not fully trained. We know that during Obama's administration, a lot of the old guard Navy commanders and planners and officials were urged to retire because they didn't believe in the liberal political agenda. And so what we have is this new Navy in there of politically correct liberals who lack experience. It is not easy handling those ships. Everybody has to work together perfectly. And again, in both the case of the Fitzgerald and the McCain, it looks to me that whoever was in command of the ship ignored the international rules of right-of-way, thought they could get around the front of these giant ships, and misjudged, and they got tagged. Certainly, the actions of the Navy are consistent with a finding of incompetence. The entire command crew of the Fitzgerald has been relieved of duty. In response to the McCain incident, they fired the fleet commander. That's not the sort of things you're going to see happen if it's actually suspected that this was an act of war by Russia. We're going to take a phone call now. Peter in Los Angeles, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Morning,
Peter, there you are.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up one more naval thing that a lot of people don't look at it that way, but it really was. By the way, you remember the back in Aden Harbor, the destroyer that was hit with some boat or whatever, and
the USS Cole, you
know, almost got the Cole, right? And remember, that was in a peaceful harbor with no rules of engagement in a friendly harbor at anchor and all that, and that guy got cashiered. I want you to think back in August of 1943 in the Blackett Straits in the Solomon Islands. John F. Kennedy, Lieutenant J.G. John F. Kennedy, mm-hmm. was in a PT boat that goes about 40 miles an hour and was on an open water and was rammed at night with a low silhouette, by the way, by a destroyer that's about 10 or 15 miles an hour slower with a much higher silhouette. Rammed in half, people died, right? People died in that. I grant you that Kennedy did well on the rescue thing, but
yes.
Somebody definitely was asleep at the wheel there. But Daddy had $300 million and was a big contributor and former ambassador to the Court of St. James for FDR.
Well, there's a bit of a difference we need to keep in mind. In the case of Kennedy's PT boat, he's in a war zone. They're blacked out so that they can't be seen. It did happen at night, and probably over the roar of their own engines, the crew of both ships couldn't hear the other one out there. So I think that's a you have to keep that in mind. In the case of the Fitzgerald, and the McCain, you're talking about ships that have full running lights on. And these tankers and cargo ships, which are brilliantly lit up at night, they want to be seen. And that's a very different environment from an active war zone.
I understand, Mike, but you can also see where it was. People died in that collision. And
yes.
It's like a Mack truck being hit by, like a Maserati being hit by a Mack truck in an open, parking lot. And it never should have happened. But, again, it was yet another example of family connections getting you off. So,
I'm not sure I agree with you on that because, again, being a war zone, they're not going to be following, the rules of navigation and right of way. I mean, we're talking about belligerent hostile forces.
They cashiered the guy, Mike, from the coal. And that was in a peaceful harbor at anchor.
That's exactly the point I'm making. That's exactly the point I'm making. Is that Kennedy was in a war zone, and they were, it was at night, and they probably both ships had their lights out because they didn't want to be seen from a distance by a possible enemy. So it's a very different situation.
Well, I would tell you that had that happened to another naval officer, again, a Maserati and a Mack truck at night, yeah. But look at the difference in the silhouettes, the huge silhouette of a destroyer compared to a almost nothing silhouette of a PT boat, and yet this guy got rammed in half. It never should have happened, but he got off. So, and by the way, this was an active war zone when he should have been alert completely. Where the guy in Aden Harbor. Who expects to be rammed by a boat and blown up? But whatever.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for the phone call. We're going to let you go. And I do think it's a case of apples and oranges. And, the interesting thing about it was John F. Kennedy was down there in the South Pacific in what was supposed to be a rear echelon area. It surprised everybody when that Japanese ship showed up. Because John F. Kennedy had a reputation for getting with the ladies, and old Joe was already looking forward to John F. Kennedy's political career, and John just couldn't keep his fly zipped. So old Joe pulled some strings with the Navy and had him shifted off to the South Pacific so he couldn't get in any trouble. And then he gets in that incident with the PT boat, he becomes a hero, and his political career is assured. Now, that being said, yeah, I understand. Having family money behind you and family connections can go a long way to helping your career. But I don't think it's appropriate to compare the tactical situation of John F. Kennedy with what was going on with the McCain and the Fitzgerald. We'll be right back after these commercials. Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What really happened with your host, Mike Rivero? You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're going to go right back to the phones. Jay, Michael in Ohio. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael. How are you doing?
Hanging in there.
That's a good thing. I just wanted to... I wanted to find out, yesterday I sent you a couple of videos, or links to videos, and I wondered if you got them and if you were able to watch any of them.
What were the videos about? I mean, I get emails with video links all the time.
I can imagine. This one in particular was about Shauna Cox and Laz Nassaro. Shauna Cox was in the vehicle when they murdered Lavoy Finnegan.
Yes.
This had just recently been released, and, you know, there were edited versions of it, short versions of that video that were let out to the public. But it just came out the 17th of this month in full version, and it showed what actually happened, the entire run from when the state police pulled the van over and the one Bundy got out and they arrested him, then Lavoy ran into that roadblock. That was a kill zone.
Yes.
They called these people, the FBI called them hostage rescue team. There were no hostages in that van. Shauna Cox was there accidentally. She jumped into that van right when Lavoy was pulling out. but they set it up on a blind curve so that he had nowhere to go but run into the snowbank. Excuse me. The snowbank was up to 3 feet high. The FBI lied in a press conference when they said that he was ordered to put his hands up and surrender numerous times, and when he didn't, he kept coming forward, and they shot him. The video doesn't show that because it's from inside the van. They said he was only shot twice. He was shot 9 times. I mean, this. The thing is, though, I've been researching this case for almost a year and a half, trying to connect the dots, and this video does it.
Yeah, and I'm looking at your emails here right now. I understand that Eric Parker and Scott Drexler will be tried again. In fact, actually went to trial yesterday. They're not wasting any time. They're just going to keep running through the kangaroo court until they get the result they want.
Oh, that's an insult to kangaroos.
Yeah, all right. I apologize. I've only ever really met one kangaroo in my entire life, and I won the altercation. His hide is now serving as a rug in my living room.
Well, I hope the hair is soft.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. Anyway, the Finicum, Harney County deal, and the Bundy Ranch deal, they're tied together. They're linked together. They're all part of the same conspiracy. And this video proves it. They have documented evidence that Governor Kate Brown is involved in this, along mm-hmm. with Anna Brown. This judge, she calls herself a judge, Gloria Navarro, who heard this case in federal court in Nevada. Oh, my God, the absolute corruption of this woman. She would not allow any defense witnesses.
Yes.
She had the gall to tell people that they were not allowed to mention the Constitution or have a pocket Constitution visible when they came in the courtroom.
Yeah, that's pretty tyrannical. But, I mean, behind all of this, it was a land grab. They coveted the Bundy's ranch land. They wanted to sell it to developers. And we've seen the Bureau of Land Management do this, where they'll grab some land and say, oh, it needs to be preserved, it needs to be managed. Then 2 years down the road, the BLM says, well, you know, it turns out this land really wasn't all that critical to the environment, so we're going to just put it up for sale to a private party.
Finicum's body wasn't cold before they started blasting on that property. There are witnesses.
Yes.
And guess who personally carried a sample of the yellow cake uranium that's under that land to Russia?
I believe that was Podesta.
No, it was not. It was Robert Mueller, the guy who's investigating Trump's Russia.
Oh, you're right. You're right. It was Robert Mueller. Yeah. It's all about uranium, the Uranium One deal. I mean, these people are all getting rich by stealing other people's land with uranium underneath it. All right, Jay, we got to let you go. Take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org. Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are
are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here and getting on back to the news here. Now, here's a good illustration of how politicians, especially Democrats, can be hypocrites. Because we've had about 9 months of Democratic operatives leaking every piece of sensitive, embarrassing information they could get their hands on about the Trump administration to the New York Times and the Washington Post, over and above the fact that Hillary Clinton was mishandling, to be polite, classified documents. And so now that Breitbart, that Banning has left the White House and is heading back to Breitbart, Democrats are warning him not to publish any classified information on Breitbart. Don't you dare do it. That's our gig. Amazing here. Now, as you know, the White House petition to declare Antifa a terrorist group has soared way past the minimum number of signatures required for a response. We're still not getting the response here. There's a new petition up, and it's already collecting a huge number of signatures as well. This is a petition to declare George Soros a terrorist and seize all of his related organizations' assets under RICO and NDAA law and civil forfeiture. And it's actually legitimate because George Soros, in funding these groups that are using violence to coerce a change to the political structure of our country, that is defined under the USA Patriot Act as an act of terror. So, yeah, I think it's an idea whose time has come. Meanwhile, the statue-wrecking, monument-burning, race-baiting seems to be losing traction. It's like I was saying yesterday. Nobody wants to be associated with either side of that debate because they both look bad. The black population do not want to be associated with Black Lives Matter and Antifa because of the way they behave. White conservatives don't want to be associated with the extremists on the other side because of the way they behave. And we know that all of those people are being paid to show up and act like that anyway. So it's not getting any traction. So meanwhile, apparently Sky News has interviewed the head of the Ku Klux Klan, basically saying that, yes, there's probably going to be more violence. And the argument being made is Antifa and Black Lives Matter are desecrating cemeteries and taking down monuments of American war heroes. And remember, under the law, members of the Confederacy are considered U.S. military veterans. And this head of the KKK is saying, we offer a whimper of protest at the desecration of cemeteries, and we're being called bigots, racists, and Nazis. And I'm not a big supporter of the KKK, but that's a valid point. There's a double standard here where the Black Lives Matter, Antifa can go on out with these acts of violence, disobedience, vandalism. And if anybody complains about, hey, maybe you ought not to behave that way, you're denounced as a racist, a white supremacist. CNN is still out there trying to promote Antifa and Black Lives Matter, trying to sell America that this is these are the good guys, not working. They actually put up a puff piece with the title, I'm not kidding you, Activists Seek Peace Through Violence. And then apparently somebody took a look at that on the screen and they yanked it, realizing how little sense it made. Now, there is another story that's coming on out. Apparently the Texas Rangers were searching an Antifa member's bag near a Confederate statue, basically looking to see if he was going to deface it. They found explosives. This Antifa member wanted to literally blow the statue up, not just content with paint or chisel marks. And, of course, a complete disregard for any people who might be standing by when it went off. Now, polls are continuing to show Americans support free speech over political correctness. Polls are showing that Americans agree with Donald Trump. Both sides in this debate are behaving badly. And polls are still showing Americans overwhelmingly think those Confederate monuments ought to be left where they are. And if you have a problem with the monument to a Confederate officer, walk away. Look another direction. Nobody's forcing you to be there to look at this Confederate memorial. Just go on off and go someplace else. But when you have this organized group that are trying to erase our history, because it's not just the Confederates anymore, they want to go after George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. Their attitude is if a historical monument or a piece of history offends anybody, it should be erased. Well, I mean, come on, in this world, if you erase every bit of history that offends somebody, there will be no history at all. Maybe that's what they want. Now, getting on over to the Imran Awan case, things may be about to heat up over there. Report in the New York Post is saying prosecutors are squeezing Imran Awan in a cyber espionage investigation. Additional charges and arrests are expected. They're starting to get to the heart of it. Now, here's the question. Given Imran's close association with Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Debbie Wasserman Schultz's close association with Hillary Clinton, we start to get a very interesting question. We know that the Awan brothers were stealing information from House member computers and selling it to foreign governments. It's a spy ring. Is it part of the same spy ring that Hillary Clinton was running? So hopefully Imran is going to understand his best option is to talk. And we know Hillary's trying to keep the lid on all of this stuff. Apparently, Huma Abedin is still on Hillary's campaign payroll. She's not doing anything, just getting the money. Sounds like hush money to a lot of people here. So as you know, we're going to go ahead and grab ourselves a phone call. Steve in California, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, Mike, I sent you an email a couple of days ago about the illegality of AOL releasing Mike Pence's personal emails. And this is not government emails. These are personal emails. I would think that would be illegal, correct, or not?
Well, apparently because Pence was using a private email account for state business under state law, it was legit to get those emails and make them part of the public record. But again, I'm very troubled by the fact that we have yet another politician who's attempting to conceal part of what they're doing by the use of a private email server. And again, if Pence had used the private email for his personal business, that would be one thing. But apparently he was conducting official business.
I understand. That seems to be a problem, ongoing problem for all our politicians, I would assume, don't you think?
Yeah, it is. And it's kind of interesting where we have a government that wants our lives to be perfectly open and transparent for constant surveillance, and yet at the same time is trying very, very hard to evade the existing laws requiring government transparency. They don't want we, the voters, looking at what they're doing, apparently. And so we have all these stories about multiple BlackBerries and private email servers and just trying to keep so much of their shenanigans out of the public eye. And again, we had the same argument over Hillary's email server. If it was used for her personal, private, business, family stuff, yeah, it's private, hands off. But if she was using it for official State Department business, and she was, you have to ask why. Why wasn't she using the secured system? Because we are, in fact, dealing with classified information that was made available to the world on a private email server with worse security than Ashley Madison. And even
you know, Mike, you've mentioned it on your show, and I think John's talked about it, and Ron McDonald talked about it, is the skipping of the protocol, now cutting a deal with Hillary Clinton on these 37,000 emails, they're kind of skipping over. You have to be indicted or charges have to be filed, but they're kind of skipping over that protocol of that process itself and then going right to cutting a deal. And other than RBN, I have not heard anybody in the mainstream media point out, wait a minute, how is that possible? You're kind of skipping over something here.
No, that's not the – no. When we're talking about a plea deal, that's very often offered prior to any indictment or charges being made, because the outcome of that plea bargain determines what charges are going to be filed. And in the case of the deal that they were talking about with Hillary, which, as far as I can tell, has gone nowhere at this point. But the idea was that Hillary would agree to accept being charged for this minor offense, and she would plead guilty to it. And in exchange, all these other investigations into the email server and the foundation would be dropped, which is a sweetheart deal for Hillary Clinton. And because she's going to be charged with a minor offense, she's still eligible to run for the White House.
Amazing. Hey, thank you, Michael.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. All right, we're going to get into the war zones here, and there are so many of them. So more American troops to Afghanistan to keep the Chinese out. How about mine the lithium, the battle for Afghanistan's mineral riches? And everybody's out there saying, oh, why are we ramping up in Afghanistan? Only a couple of months ago, they were saying it was time to get on out here. Well, I'm very gratified to see more and more organizations start to really look at what's going on in Afghanistan. And so over at MediaRoots.org, they have an article, How Opium is Keeping the United States in Afghanistan, the CIA's Shady History of Drug Trafficking. And I've been saying all along, that is why we will never leave Afghanistan. As long as the poppies are blooming, the U.S. will stay in there. Because it's all about money and power, and nothing gets you more money more quickly than the illicit drug trade. And you make it much more profitable by keeping it illegal. A lot of people have called in to say, I've seen in other countries where they decriminalize these drugs, and the problems go away. The crime goes away. It's a manageable issue with the existing addicts. But you don't have dealers out there at the schoolyard offering out free samples to try and build their business. There's no point in it because they can't make a huge profit if it's legal and under state control. Why don't they do that here? Why don't they end the prohibition to end the corruption? And the reason is because the corruptors are the ones who are profiting from the drug trade, and they don't want anything to change at all. I've been noticing on the recent DOS server attacks on my web server, the article about opium in Afghanistan is a favorite target of the DOSers. They'll go after that article hundreds and hundreds of times in the space of a minute, trying to drown it out, trying to keep that from getting on out. But the word is getting on out. This article in Media Roots confirms it. Everybody is openly talking about the fact that the CIA is heavily invested in the drug trade. Kunsaz heroin from Vietnam, cocaine from Central America during that whole Iran-Contra thing, and now more opium coming in from Afghanistan. And it's another reason why the U.S. would like to get into North Korea, because that's also a major source of opium poppies. And there's nothing new with governments getting involved in drug trafficking. Britain actually fought a war against China over Britain's imagined right to sell opium to the Chinese people. And amazingly enough, they bought that opium from right here in the United States of America, sent it across the ocean, sold it to the Chinese opium dens. And the corruption and the rot eventually brought down the imperial government and opened the way for the communist revolution. Now, interestingly enough, one of the families that was involved in what was politely called the China trade were the Russells. And the Russells used the money that they were getting from selling their opium to Britain. And yes, it was a legal crop at the time. It was looked down on for moral reasons, but it was legal at the time. And they used their money for various philanthropic endeavors, including a fraternity at Yale University officially called the Russell Trust. And you probably know it as Skull and Bones. And you probably also know that there's always been a very tight, close link between Skull and Bones and the Central Intelligence Agency. It's the politics of contraband. Now, getting on down to Syria, the Russian defense minister, Sergei Shoigu, has said that the civil war in Syria de facto is over. It's all pretty much done. There's mop-up, there's cleaning up areas, they have to separate the terrorists from the opposition. And, you know, the de-escalation zones and safe zones. So it's winding down. And we've been saying that for a while. But golly gee whiz, just when you think it's all over, a second ISIS-held pocket just magically appears in central Syria. And they're back like a bad penny. ISIS is back causing trouble. I'm telling you, the U.S. is not going to let Syria out of their grip. They're just looking for a way to get it done here. Now, here's a weird statement coming on out from Erdogan and Mattis. Apparently, Mattis and Erdogan were having these talks, and Mattis has come around to agree with Erdogan about maybe the Kurdistan isn't such a good idea, because now Mattis is saying the importance of preserving the territorial integrity of Iraq and Syria, which, of course, was not the U.S. policies going into so many of these other places. But apparently Erdogan has made it very obvious that he will not tolerate the formation of a Kurdistan. And looks like Mattis may have backed down over that issue. Now, the problem with all these blinking and backing downs, and we are seeing a lot of them, they're couched in propaganda to make it look like the U.S. government has taken the high ground. Well, we're going to retire with dignity and we're doing well. But world leaders are starting to look at the United States as a paper tiger and maybe not the invincible military that they once were, especially with all these stupid accidents with the ships. So apparently over in Germany, Merkel is now being encouraged by her advisors to basically campaign on a new resurgent German military to lead Europe. because of their view that the USA has, in fact, become weak. Now, up in Ukraine, apparently they've had a little bit of a security panic. Somebody with an untraceable IP telephone and a synthesized voice phoned in a death threat on Poroshenko's life, and they're taking it very, very seriously, as well they should. Poroshenko is not at all well-liked by the people of Ukraine. So something dramatic may be happening there. Meanwhile, Ukraine, following Poland's demand for reparations from Germany, is now demanding 3 trillion rubles from Russia for Crimea. Apparently, Ukraine's new attitude is, yes, you can keep it, but you stole it, you're going to have to pay for it. I can imagine Putin's just going to be laughing himself silly over this one. We'll be back after these news.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting 2 people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened? What really happened?
And And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Now, Netanyahu finally got to meet Vladimir Putin and immediately went on a rant about Iran this and Iran that, and Iran can't be in Syria, and if you don't get Iran out of Syria, we're going to take action ourselves, blah, 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 blah. And apparently Putin just more or less ignored him, which I think is a suitable response. Because Netanyahu's out there saying, you know, Iran is going to bring about the end of the world. The situation is unstable. It's all the fault of Iran. No, it isn't. Iran isn't the one that's in regime changing and drone striking and bombing and invading every country in the area. So I don't blame Putin. I mean, certainly Netanyahu needs to understand something. Israel is not in a position to go to war against Russia, even backed up by the United States. Because Israel's a little tiny place, and it's not going to take too many bombs to basically make the whole thing pointless. I think Netanyahu is feeling the stress from his upcoming corruption trial. He's trying to get something major going so that his corruption trial does not make it onto the newspapers. And by the way, have you seen any report of it in the American corporate media? I don't think so. Meanwhile, proving just how butch they can be, apparently earlier this week, Israeli civil administration officials and security forces entered the village of Jub Adib, southeast of Bethlehem, and demolished the community's recently constructed school building. Now, the materials for this building were donated by the European Union to provide classrooms for Palestinians' children, and this is literally the night before the start of the Palestinian school year, and they just go on in and tear the school down. As Ron White would say, you have to be a real manly man to do that sort of thing here. Now, here's an interesting development. North Korea came on out with a statement that they are pursuing more solid rocket engine development, and they're going to produce more of these engines. This last statement, though, didn't have quite the bombast and chest thumping of earlier statements from North Korea, which led Trump to come on out with this rather bizarre statement that he respects the fact that Kim Jong-un is starting to respect the United States. And maybe something positive will come about. Now, my read on the situation is that probably because of the warning China issued that they would intervene in the event of a U.S. attack on North Korea, that maybe the U.S. is backing on off, and that's why they're shifting the emphasis back to Afghanistan. Oh, stop bothering us about North Korea. That was last week. We're back in Afghanistan. There's going to be opium for all. But it almost feels like North Korea is no longer at the top of the U.S. government's special high-interest targets list. I'm going to take a break here. We'll be right back.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.